Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 8th, 2026. We begin our reading on the front page, top of the fold, non-binding referendum in Paxton. Officially, voters back, backyard chickens. Council expected to discuss referendum results and the path forward at their next meeting. Paxton. It's official. Most Paxton residents, at least among the 661 who voted in the March 17th primary election, want the city to allow backyard chickens. Official results from the election released Thursday by Ford County Clerk and Recorder Amy Frederick confirmed Paxton voters' narrow passage of an advisory ballot question that asked whether they would support the establishment of rules to allow for the keeping of backyard chickens in town. The final tally, 335 for, 326 against, and that's 50.68% to 49.32%. The margin changed by only one no vote in the week since the unofficial election results were announced, showing a 335 to 325 result. By law, Frederick's office was required to count any ballots postmarked by Election Day and received within 14 days. The ballot question saw the most support in the Patton 1 precinct, where 62.5% of the voters said yes, followed by Patton 4 with 54.76%, Patton 2 with 52.7%, Patton 6, 51.22%, Patton 7, 47.97%, and Patton 5, 39.84%. The City Council is now tasked with deciding whether to move forward, as voters have asked, with drafting new regulations to allow for backyard chickens. Further discussion is expected at the Council's next meeting at 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 14th at City Hall. The meeting is open to the public. Although the referendum was non-binding, Ward 4 Alderman Kristen Larson, who has been advocating to allow for backyard chickens since October of 2020, before she joined the Council, said she feels it would be a waste of our residents' time and frankly insulting if we did not follow the majority of the votes and draft a new ordinance. I firmly believe that we can all work together to craft such an ordinance, Larson said last month. Numerous communities in the surrounding counties have been able to have and enforce chicken ordinances with few or no complaints. I'm confident that Paxton can do the same. Larson said the council already has a proposed backyard chickens ordinance in rough draft form. The draft includes having a pilot chicken keeping program, a permit process, inspections, a 6-to-8 hen limit, setbacks from neighbors' property lines, a non-compliance plan, an advocate to eliminate pressure on the police department, coop and run size standards and containment requirements, cleanliness restrictions, rooster prohibition, and more, Larson said last month. The goal is to allow residents to keep hens for personal non-commercial use while not affecting neighbors in a negative way. While four of the city's eight aldermen, including Larson, said after the election last month that they would be open to considering allowing backyard chickens, the council would need 5 affirmative votes to approve a new ordinance. In the event of a 4-to-4 tie, the deciding vote would be left to Mayor Bill Ingold, who said before the election that he is opposed to the idea. I'm really against the idea of raising livestock in Paxton, Ingold said. While numerous nearby communities already allow backyard chickens, they currently can only be kept in Paxton if they are at least 150 feet from any home, church, school building, or public way, according to city code, restrictions that make raising them impossible on most residential properties. If the new rules to allow backyard chickens were to be drafted by the council, they would then be heard at a public hearing by the city's Planning and Zoning Commission before coming before the council for a final vote. The official election results showed the final tally in the race for the Republican nomination for Ford County Clerk and Recorder as 878 for Kelsey Vaughn to 828 for Amy Frederick. With no challengers in November's election, Vaughn has said she plans to vacate her current term on the Ford County Board prior to the start of her new role as clerk on December 1st, when she replaces Frederick, who has been in the position for 10 years. Turning back to the front page, Paul Muser, new judge appointed to hear the case. Detention hearing reset for April 22nd. Paxton. Accused of soliciting a teenager for sex, former Paxton Buckley Loda High School teacher Paul L. Muser is due in Ford County Circuit Court on Wednesday, April 22nd, for a rescheduled detention hearing in front of a different judge. Court records show that the detention hearing was scheduled for 9:30 a.m., with a status hearing to follow at 10:45 a.m. with Judge Mary Cole presiding. Livingston County's Cole was reassigned the case by 11th Circuit Chief Judge Casey Costigan after Muser's attorney, Lance Cagle, requested a change in judge during a March 24th hearing held before County Judge Matt Fitton. In a petition filed March 24th to deny Muser's pretrial release, Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian noted that Muser poses a, quote, real and present threat to the safety, unquote, of the community. The 72-year-old Muser of Buckley is charged with two counts of attempted criminal sexual assault, a Class 2 felony, one count of indecent solicitation of a child, also a Class 2 felony, and one count of grooming, a Class 4 felony. Muser has been in custody at Ford County Jail since March 20th, following his arrest March 16th on a warrant in Oklahoma. Muser was placed on administrative leave from his position as driver's education and physical education teacher on March 8th, amid an investigation into alleged inappropriate communication with a minor, and he then resigned on March 11th, according to PBL's interim superintendent, John Kilgore. Muser, a 2024 PBL Alumni Hall of Fame inductee and a 1972 Paxton High School graduate who led an accomplished Hall of Fame career as a head boys basketball coach in various high schools in Oklahoma, allegedly invited a teenager to his home last Christmas Eve, intending to commit a sexual act with the teen, according to charging documents. Also, between January 25th and December 24th, 2025, Muser allegedly offered the teen snacks and money, discussed things of a sexual nature, including his desire to perform acts of sexual penetration with the child, and exchanged emails with the teen outside of school. If convicted, Muser would face a sentence ranging from probation to up to 7 years in prison for each Class 2 felony, along with a term ranging from probation to up to 3 years in prison for the Class 4 felony. Again, back on the front page, Rob Pacey. A year later, Pacey still on paid leave. Next hearing in civil case set for April 22nd. Paxton. Clara Peterson Elementary School teacher Rob Pacey remains on paid administrative leave, the Paxton Buckley Loda School District's interim superintendent confirmed Friday, almost exactly 1 year after families were first notified of his suspension amid an investigation into allegations of inappropriate touching of female students. in response to a Freedom of Information Act request Wednesday for a list of payroll funds paid to Pacey over the past year and any documentation to confirm the current status of his paid suspension. Interim Superintendent John Kilgore said in an email Friday that he was out of the district, so he did not have immediate access to the specific information requested, but he can confirm that Pacey is on paid administrative leave. The last time the Chronicle inquired about Pacey's employment status, early last August, Pacey was listed on the July 30th payroll as a teacher with a biweekly pay of $2,216. Pacey, a lifelong Paxton resident who also continues to serve as a Ward 3 alderman on the Paxton City Council, among other local civic organizations, has denied the allegation, saying in a statement last summer that he is deeply troubled by the claims and without a doubt has done nothing wrong. Meanwhile, another hearing is set for 2 p.m. Wednesday, April 22nd in Ford County Circuit Court in lawsuits filed last summer on behalf of five former and current PBL students against Pacey, the district, PBL Junior High School Principal Josh Didier, and former superintendents Cliff McClure and Travis Dooley. The upcoming motion hearing is expected to involve the setting of an initial deadline for the issuance of written discovery. Recently, the judge presiding over the civil case granted a partial motion to dismiss ruling that the district cannot be held vicariously liable under the legal theory of respondeat superior, as alleged in some of the lawsuit's counts, for Pacey's alleged sexual misconduct, as those alleged acts occurred outside his scope of employment. In doing so, Foley allowed the plaintiff's attorney, Bhavani Ravindran of Chicago, 21 days to amend the lawsuit to include additional allegations that are non-sexual in nature and may fall within Pacey's scope of employment. The recent ruling did not apply to all of the lawsuit's existing count, only some, Ravindran noted. After receiving the ruling of the court on the defendant's motion, the plaintiffs look forward to moving forward with their case, seeking accountability for putting minor students at risk and pursuing their multiple remaining claims against the defendants, Ravindran said in a statement after the ruling. The lawsuits, which were filed last summer, and have since been consolidated into a single case, allege that Pacey inappropriately touched female students during his 17 years of employment, and that administrators failed to properly investigate and address students' claims of misconduct, ignoring the district's own policies by never notifying the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services as required. Pacey, who is being represented in the lawsuits by Chicago attorney Emily Schnitt, was suspended last spring as a STEM and technology teacher at Clara Peterson Elementary School in Paxton. He has not been criminally charged. And we'll finish the front page on a much more positive note. Paxton Buckley Lota High School's spring musical, Best for Last. Fourth musical in 4 years will be best yet, PBL high school seniors say. Paxton. Paxton Buckley Lota High School is ready for the return of its annual spring musical. This is the fourth year since the choir program brought back its musical, with past shows including You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown in 2023, Once Upon a Mattress in 2024, and Newsies in 2025. Directed by chorus teacher Tiffany Howard, with English teacher Jordan Munoz as an assistant director, this year's musical is Into the Woods, originally written by James Lapine, with music by Stephen Sondheim. It features a student cast of 22, a musical ensemble of 4, and a stage crew of 9. The musical will be performed at 7 p.m. on both Friday, April 10th and Saturday, April 11th, and at 2 p.m. Sunday, April 12th in the high school's gymnasium. tickets, which cost $5 for PBL students and $8 for everyone else, are available at the door with only cash accepted. The cast has been practicing since early January, meeting after school for 2 hours daily and even on some Saturdays. The cast of Into the Woods at PBL has worked so hard to bring this production to life, said Braden Keefe, who portrays the character Jack. It's a challenging show with multiple intertwining stories and some heavy themes, Keefe said. But the overall message and impact on the audience is truly incredible. The musical is split into two acts. Act one is a whimsical journey through a variety of classic fairy tales, such as Cinderella, Jack and the Beanstalk, Rapunzel, and Little Red Riding Hood, with some new characters added in, such as the baker and the baker's wife. I'm kind of the villain of the story, said Lauren Crumwitty, who plays the witch in Act 1. I'm the reason that all the characters have to go around doing stuff in Act 1. Act 2 shows the fallout of the characters due to their past wishes, greed, and selfishness. The characters must band together to stop one vengeful giant from attacking. Crumwitty said the musical's fast pace and intricate score uses many of the same melodies in both acts, but some of the chords and notes change to a darker sound in Act 2. Due to heavier elements such as grief and death, parents may want to refrain from bringing young children, said Howard, who also directed last year's musical. The musical is well known for being complicated and musically complex, Howard said. The cast is doing amazing. I feel like the production will be a high-quality one. They have a lot of seniors and others who are very experienced in musicals. I'm excited for everyone to see how good they are. Isabella Cross, who plays the role of Snow White, said she and other cast members are excited and ready to take the stage in PBL High School's gymnasium in front of an audience. For Cross and six other senior cast members, it will be for one last time. I feel like this year is the best year to do this show, Cross said. We have a lot of experienced seniors and other talented kids. This musical program has come so far, added Dylan Otto, who portrays the baker, and we've only had it for 4 years. In addition to Cross, Keefe, Crumwitty, and Otto, the cast includes Astrid Perkins as the narrator, Ava Reinhardt as Cinderella, Cora Busby as the baker's wife, Lily Schomburg as Cinderella's stepmother, Tessa Wormnest as Florinda, Piper Sidal as Lucinda, Grace Morgan as Jack's mother, Savannah Jones as Little Red Riding Hood, Devin Lundquist as Cinderella's father, Riley Landis as Cinderella's mother, Curtis Ostendorf as the mysterious man and the big bad wolf, Gigi Chadwick as Rapunzel, Cole Ostendorf as Rapunzel's prince, Gabby Real-Gauss as Granny, Zach Groller as Cinderella's prince, Luscious Babs as Stuart, Peyton Badgley as the giant's voice, and Kimber Wagerzen as Sleeping Beauty. And that last student's last name is spelled Wegerzyn. The ensemble includes Savannah Miller, Zake Smith, and Bill Swenson, while the stage crew includes Megan Bormet, Lillian Bormet, Amelia Brigham, Mackenzie Condor, Grace Freitag, Alexandria Hudson, Sky Mills, Addison Moreno, and Cheyenne Rutledge. For the seven senior cast members, Cross, Keefe, Crumwitty, Otto, Perkins, Curtis, Ostendorf, and Rael Gauss, this will be a particularly special time. I'm really sad that this will be my final high school show, but I couldn't have asked for a better cast to share it with, Keefe said. The show is being advertised on social media including on Instagram and TikTok and in the Ford County Chronicle. Everyone should come and see this amazing story about the consequence that come with every wish, Keith said. And that story was written by Lily Young, a Ford County Chronicle News reporter intern who graduates in May from Paxton Buckley Loda High School. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 8th. Donald A. Gerdes, Jr., Thawville. Donald A. Donnie Gerdes, Jr., 65, of Thawville, died Sunday, April 5th at his residence. Celebration of his life will be at 12:30 p.m. Friday, April 10th at the Knapp Funeral Home in Onarga. Burial will be at a later date in the Delray Cemetery near Onarga. Memorials may be made to the Iroquois Memorial Hospice or Fairhaven, which provides housing for families of seriously ill patients at no cost. Doris M. Deramaya, Paxton. Doris Marie Lear Deramaya, 100, of Paxton, formerly of St. Joseph, died at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton Senior Living on Sunday, March 29th, surrounded by her family. She will be laid to rest by her husband and son in Mount Olive Cemetery in Mayview during a private graveside ceremony at a later date. Cynthia F. Ewart, and that's spelled E-W-A-R-T, Marion, Indiana. Cynthia F. Cindy Ewart, 67, of Marion, Indiana, died at her home in the early afternoon of Friday, March 27. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Saturday, April 18th at the Needham Story Wapner Funeral and Cremation Services North Chapel in North Baldwin Avenue in Marion, Indiana. Immediately following the visitation, a service to celebrate her life will begin at 2 p.m. Fay F. Kirby, Paxton. Fay Fern Kirby, 90, formerly of Paxton, died Wednesday, March 25th at her home in Danville. Visitation was from 11 a.m. to noon Wednesday, April 1st at the Cox Knapp Funeral Home in Paxton, and graveside services were private. Maxine Lehman, Savoy. Maxine Lehman, 101, of Savoy, a native of Gilman, died Saturday, March 28th at Autumn Fields in Savoy. Celebration of her life was held Tuesday, April 7th at St. John's Lutheran Church at Schwer, and a graveside service was at 2 p.m. Tuesday, April 7th. Memorials may be given to a church youth program. Jean Owens, Cisna Park. Jean Owens, 81, of Cisna Park, died Wednesday, April 1st at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. Funeral services were held Wednesday, April 8th at the Knapp Funeral Home in Cisna Park, officiated by the Reverend Ashley Clifton. Burial will follow the service in the Cisna Park Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Methodist Church in Cisna Park. Peggy Fields Rusk, Rantoul. Peggy Fields Rusk, 88, of Rantoul, died Friday, April 3rd. Funeral services were held Friday, April 10th at the Cox Knapp Funeral Home in Paxton. Burial followed at the Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorials may be made to the Bible Baptist Church in Rantoul. Allen, Al, Thomas, Ludlow. Allen, Al, Thomas, 91 of Ludlow, died Thursday, April 2nd, at his home, surrounded by family. Funeral services were held Tuesday, April 7th, at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul. Burial followed at Maplewood Cemetery in Rantoul. We return to the news with a story from the Ford County Board. Vacancy to be declared. Paxton. The Ford County Board has called a special meeting for 5 p.m. Friday, April 10th to officially declare the county treasurer's position vacant as a result of the resignation of Treasurer Krisha Whitcomb. The meeting will be held in the boardroom in the basement of the Sheriff's Office and Jail on North American Street in Paxton. The following Monday, April 13th, the board is expected to appoint a replacement to serve the remaining several months of Whitcomb's current four-year term through November 30th. The April 13th meeting begins at 6 p.m. at the same location. Taylor Burnett of Paxton, who was unopposed in the March 17th primary election and is again unchallenged in November's general election for a four-year term as treasurer, has said she is interested in being appointed to fill the role on an interim basis before her elected term begins. Burnett, a deputy clerk in the treasurer's office since last June, has been endorsed by Whitcomb, who has served as treasurer since 2018 and did not seek a third term last fall. Burnett is a Paxton native who graduated from Paxton Buckley Loda High School and has previous experience in finance working at the Frederick Community Bank and the former Farmers Merchants National Bank of Illinois, both in Paxton. She worked at the Frederick Community Bank both during and after high school. Burnett was married in 2021 to Justin Burnett. She has three stepsons, Kyler, Connor, and Casey, and a daughter, Collins. Burnett is a daughter of Gary and Tammy Glasick, who are part owners of Plastic Designs Incorporated of Paxton. From the Village of Roberts, Village looking for funds to tear down dilapidated home. Out-of-state owner said she would give property to Village, which would pay for demolition costs. Roberts. Village leaders continue to explore their options to secure the necessary funding to tear down a dilapidated home at 107 and 109 East Green Street. With Village Attorney Mark Miller advising, Village President Matt Vaughn provided the town board with an update on the situation during Monday's monthly meeting. The residence is owned by out-of-state resident Miranda Warstall and the estate of the late Tom Fox. Warstall has responded to Village Attorney Justin Bruner's correspondence about the matter, but has admitted that she has no intention of returning to Illinois and does not have the financial means to perform any cleanup of the property. According to Vaughn, Warstall has said that she would give the property to the village, which in turn could demolish the home at its own costs. But initial estimates obtained by Vaughn show that it would cost as much as $150,000 to tear down the residence, not including legal fees. Vaughn said that high of a cost would be unaffordable to the village, which currently only has $383,108 in liquid assets. Even if we could, where would we draw the line? Vaughn asked rhetorically. We've already spent $20,000 to clean up a burnt property for an irresponsible property owner. Now we're being forced to spend $150,000 to take care of someone else's responsibility. What's next? Further complicate matters, even if Worstall were to give the property to the village would need to track down Mr. Fox's next of kin to gain their permission as well. Vaughn said his attempts to get help in securing a grant towards the demolition from State Senator Chris Baucoma, Republican of Shannonon, and State Representative Jason Bunting, Republican of Emmington, have so far gone unanswered.